Welcome to Gay Ambition Podcast, where we bring out the best in life, community, and the workplace. I'm your host, Paul Collinton. Today's guest is Riley Folds, founder of Out for Work and author of the brand new book, Your Queer Career, The Ultimate Guide for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Job Seekers. Riley, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to start with your book. Why did you decide to write it, and who is it for?
Well, I'm really excited about this book, and basically the audience for it is really any member of the LGBTQ community, whether they're looking for a job currently or just to kind of have insight into their own career development. So really, there's a lot of tools, resources, information, and even exercises at the end of every chapter to kind of help guide people through their career development and job search process.
Awesome. Thinking back to my own experience and kind of being in the corporate world for a couple of years, what kind of development activities are there for someone who might already be working?
That's a very good question. You know, definitely there is opportunities within the resource to look at your interests and your values and your goals over the lifespan of your career and really tap into, is your current position in line with those, you know, interests, values, and goals? And are those in line with your own development of your sexual identity or gender identity? So it takes it from looking at it from a very unique perspective. So making sure that all those items align so that you do have the most productive career and you go down the most productive career path that you can.
That sounds really important, making sure everything is in line, constantly evaluating. I love it. So after reading your book, what are three points that you would like people to take away from it?
I think there's a lot of different things, and it'll depend on who is reading it. For the individual, who, let's say the college student just transitioning from academia to the workplace, I think it provides a good roadmap for them to start their career path. And then again, I think if it's an experienced person in the workplace, it provides good support. And if you're trying to maybe move into a different industry, if you're looking just for a job change, or you want to do something, you know, completely different. But I think three key things that individuals can walk away with is knowing the laws or the lack of laws out there. In a majority of the states, individuals can be fired or not even considered for a position simply based on their sexual orientation or gender expression or gender identity. So everyone should really go and have a look at information and websites that provide the legal side of it. And also we provide that in the resource itself. So we kind of outline the states where you're protected and states where you might not be protected. Now, there's kind of this different pieces of the puzzle that our country has right now because there is no national law that is protecting individuals based on sexual orientation or gender identity. So ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, would be such a law if it did exist. However, it's been held up in Congress for many years. It comes up almost every term, and there's not enough votes to get it passed. So until something like ENDA is passed, there is this kind of mishmash of laws around the country. So, you know, individuals should be definitely aware of what the laws are in their own area. I would also say, you know, the use of social media is a big advantage when looking for a career. So leveraging those LGBTQ associations and networks that you have in getting you to organizations that are LGBTQ inclusive and friendly, if that is something that you want to pursue. So how can you use, you know, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn in association with, you know, your gender identity and your sexual orientation to have better information when you're making these choices? And I would just say, you know, finally, is kind of going back to that evaluation, making sure that your queer identity and your career development go hand in hand. So, you know, that can fluctuate over time, and there may be instances where it changes, but making sure that those two align so that you're comfortable in taking your whole self to work. If you, in fact, do want to be out and open in the workplace, this book, and I do not personally advocate that everyone who is LGBTQ needs to be out in the workplace. It's a personal choice, just like coming out personally is a personal choice. And, you know, it's always up to the individual. So that's how I like to leave that.
That's so important. And it's interesting that you mention social media as an advantage. I tend to agree with you. But to play devil's advocate a little bit, I know that there are some people in the older generation specifically who kind of scare away from social media a little bit because they don't want to be out. They're still afraid of what employers might think or might not hire them or might fire them because they're out online. And so do you see that as a challenge that might have to be overcome as well?
Well, I think this comes back to deciding what kind of information you want out there. So always, you know, as a general rule, check the security of each of these social media outlets that you use. So making sure that people only see what you want them to see, that's key first. And then if you are listing LGBTQ affiliations or associations on there and you know they'll be viewed, then, you know, that is something you have to consider into the mix of all your other choices. So if you're not comfortable with that in general or following up with someone in that manner, then maybe you should leave that off your social media pages or maybe just restrict access. It's really up to the individual, but I would say it all comes back to identifying where you are in your own personal queer identity and where you are on your professional journey and where those kind of intersect. And there's a great exercise in the book that kind of talks about linking those two. And what if, for example, you're more comfortable being out with friends and family, but maybe not so much in the workplace? How does that reconcile itself when you're going to work and then you're, you know, going home and spending time with friends and family? And what can that do to someone personally and professionally? So those are all topics that I look at in this book.
Yep. Sounds like it goes back to your message of evaluation and making sure everything's in line. So I think it all makes a lot of sense. And this book is written for the entire LGBT community. And I'm wondering what challenges are unique in building a career if you're gay versus bi versus lesbian versus transgender. How do those map up?
Yeah, there are differences. And there's different challenges that each of the members within the LGBTQ community faces. For example, stereotypes are a big one. So for a gay male, there may be this stereotype that going into nursing or going into, you know, retail or human resources, these are more kind of quote-unquote stereotypical or can be assumed as effeminate or more feminine positions or roles. You know, same thing with lesbians can fall into a stereotype of that, whether it's law enforcement or maybe other employment opportunities that are deemed more masculine, like a doctor, for example. These may be stereotypes that lesbians fall into. For bisexual individuals, I mean, they may have a situation in the workplace where they're talking about, because we do have personal conversations at work. Work is a blend of personal and professional identities. So they may have a situation where they're talking about going out or having relations with both sexes, and that can be a challenge in the workplace at times for other individuals to understand. And then just quickly, you know, transgendered individuals have a whole different set of challenges or questions at times. How do they present themselves in the workplace? What about identification rules and processes? Also looking at insurance and benefits relating to maybe transitioning while in the workplace. So there's a whole host of areas that pertain specifically to each demographic within the population. And I know that, you know, in this book and in the community, we usually just rattle off something like LGBTQ or GLBT, or even saying the inclusive term of queer here in this book. However, while we do that, just to kind of make it kind of digestible to talk about, each of these individuals have their own specific career development challenges and questions that need to be addressed.
And as a LGBT individual who's trying to develop their career, how do you overcome challenges such as the stereotypes that you mentioned or the unique challenges to the transgender community? What is something that people can do proactively to help combat that?
I think a couple ways. The first, I would say, relates to looking for or developing a relationship with a mentor or even having role models is really beneficial. Again, a role model may be someone that you know, it may be someone famous, it may be, you know, someone you never met before. A role model can be various people. A role model is great to have to kind of look up to and to see what kind of struggles that they have may have overcome. A mentor is a little bit different, where you're going to build a relationship with that person. Again, you may know this person personally and professionally, or just professionally. You may know them just as a mentor. But really, this relationship that you build can be very helpful for many, many reasons. One, answering these questions that you may have about being out and open in the workplace, how to find LGBTQ inclusive employers, what to do if something happens, if you do feel discriminated in the workplace. So these individuals who have been there and done it can kind of provide that experience and that finesse that someone new in the workplace might need. So I think developing those relationships are really important.
Absolutely. Finding mentors and role models, that is so huge. And the great thing about living in 2013 is that we have so many more than we've ever had before. So many more people who are out in all areas of business. So many allies who are passionate about protecting our cause. And so I think it's a really great time to be out for work, as you might say.
Yeah, and I would stress that as well, that you mentioned allies, and a lot of the movement that the community has made could not have been without the allies. So embracing allies and those role models or those mentorship relationships is really important as well.
Yep. Now, back to your book. It takes a lot of work to write a book. I know this because I've worked with several authors now. And I'm wondering, what was the book writing process like for you, and how did you come to market your book?
Bounding and running out for work and just really becoming an LGBTQ workplace advocate. And so what I wanted to do was to get all those kind of technical things down, concepts and otherwise, that I've been talking about over the last 10 years, and put them in a resource that people could pick up easily, read at their convenience, and really kind of progress at their own pace. And so the process was challenging, not to have the information, because that part was pretty much created over the last 10 years, with it being obviously edited as it went along. However, I think the challenging part was knowing how much to have in the first book. So does this book have everything in the world in it? No. Does it have everything I think it should have in it? Yes, because you have to draw a line somewhere. And there are 11 chapters in this book, and it's over 200 pages. So I think it's filled with vital and critical and important information. I would say a challenge was just editing down to make sure that it was consumable for the average reader. And then as for a marketing plan, I am working with Riverdale Avenue Books and under the Magnus imprint. And, They have been very supportive in providing marketing to an extent, and then also as me being kind of the figurehead of the book and also being in this industry for the last 10 years, there's a lot I'm doing with outreach to college and universities, career centers, you know, LGBT professionals in general. And marketing plan is kind of following the work that's already been done through the channels of Out for Work.
Great. Sounds like you set yourself up really well, and I wish you the best of luck with the success of the book.
Thank you. I think there's something in it for everyone, whether they are just kind of making their transition to the workplace or if they've been in the workplace for a while and are deciding what's next. So appreciate the opportunity to speak with you for sure.
Great. I think a lot of the listeners are very ambitious, very driven, and might even be thinking about writing a book themselves someday. So what advice might you give to someone who wants to write a book for a niche market specifically?
I would say be patient and don't give up. And also, you know, I think the hard part is not getting the ideas down, but having those edits take place. And so just be mindful that you never want to lose what you want in the book. So be true to yourself. And this is, I mean, this spans, you know, even writing a book, but being true to yourself and then just coming up with something that you're very proud of and that you will entice and be attractive to others in the community. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I've actually heard that in order to get a book deal with the publisher, I was listening to a conference at New Media Expo, and you actually don't even have to have a single word of your book written before you get a book deal. It all comes down to the book proposal, which I thought was so interesting for the nonfiction genre. So, I mean, it sounds like you already had so much great work to back up what you were doing, but that might be good for listeners to understand as well.
This had been something that I had been planning for a few years, but my getting a job, getting this book deal was very similar in about networking. And so I was fortunate enough that I didn't have the experience of sending out a manuscript or a proposal to many, many publishers and wait for rejecting those to come back or emails to come back. I actually formed a relationship and a professional relationship with individuals within the industry that helped me maneuver in a way that I cut out a lot of that. And so, again, about networking, about building relationships, about communication, these are all things that really pushed kind of this book to the top. So, again, it's like you can go on some job site and try to find a job, and you could be one of thousands applying to that job. Or you could go in and, you know, use resources like LinkedIn and network with other professionals, you know, in other areas and find out who to deal with, set up informational interviews, talk to that person, learn from that person, and cultivate that relationship. And then you're not just one out of a thousand applying for a job. You've actually have been recognized by the individuals that are looking for talent. So it follows that model from what I did with this book as well, is that I didn't have to. That whole process was kind of eliminated by doing a lot of homework and a lot of relationship building.
Sounds like that advice is kind of universal. People can use it to apply for jobs. They can use it to get some experience and contacts in the publishing industry. They could probably use it to launch their first successful company, just kind of making those connections and spending that time building relationships.
Exactly. I agree.
Let's switch the conversation over to you now. I'm actually really curious about your story. And I'm wondering, did you always know that you would wind up in such an important leadership position for our community? Or did it just kind of happen for you naturally?
I had no idea this is where I would be. If you would have, I actually speak in the book about this, that if you would have asked me in college, if I would have been an LGBTQ workplace advocate, I would have called you crazy. And now, looking back, if you ask me today, would there be anything else I would want to be, I would say no. So you just never know where life takes you. And I was very much at the other end of the spectrum as a professional. Now, 10 plus years ago, I can remember going to work and having the mantra that, you know, my sexual orientation was no one's business and I wasn't going to talk about it and it should not affect me at work. And then so fast forward to all the things that I've learned over the past decade and all the advice that I kind of provide within the book itself, it's really changed me. I think I've been exposed to great and influential LGBTQ leaders, role models. I've had great mentors. And so I think those things have definitely pushed me down this path that I happily accept. However, did I ever think I would be in this role? No. Am I glad I'm in it? Of course.
Thank you for everything that you're doing. I think you are a leader in this community that is inspiring to people. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
How do you see your own career evolving over the next 5 years?
That's a great question. I do see it evolving. I mean, one thing I want to do is write more books. So I do not foresee this being the only resource coming from me. So I see more books on the horizon. Increase speaking opportunities. I do many trainings and speeches at conferences, but I definitely see those increasing, which I really do enjoy. And then also with getting my master's degree in career counseling, I really am moving toward a goal of working with students one-on-one. So whereas Out for Work has provided me an opportunity to work with a lot of students in masses, I see a transition to working with students more on a one-on-one basis to work on some of these questions and challenges that they may face. So that's where I see my career progression going.
Awesome. Speaking gigs sounds really exciting. Any conferences that we can find you at in the near future?
Yes, I will be at the NACE conference, the NCDA conference, and then also the NGLCC conference.
I might see you there. I might see you at the NGLCC conference. That would be awesome.
Oh, awesome. I'll be there. And then, of course, the Alpha War conference as well. So lots of conferences coming up until about mid-October.
How did coming to terms and acceptance with your own gay identity help you in your journey and further achieve your own goals?
Really, this would go back to kind of why I created Out for Work. I read a book that inspired me called The Lavender Road to Success by Kurt Schneider. And I should get like some kind of royalty for every time I mention this book because I do it so often, but I don't. But it's a great resource. It's a bit dated now. I mean, I read this now, you know, 11 years ago, but the information is still really good. But it inspired me to think about who I was as a professional. And it provided a lot of statistics and information about the benefits of being out in the workplace. And I thought, what a great resource, and I wish I would have had it coming out of college. And then I kind of asked other people what they thought. And it was really reading that book and hearing from these other individuals that, yeah, this would be something great, that inspired me to create a program that would bring LGBTQ professionals and students together in a safe space to have an in-depth conversation about being out and open in the workplace and the challenges and the questions with organizations that were LGBTQ inclusive. So I was basically inspired to come out even more personally and professionally because I felt such a connection and such a passion in this space. And so, you know, hopefully, and I'm only hoping here that, you know, my book, someone, you know, goes on the internet, finds the book, orders it, and is inspired to do something just as great. Because I think it is one of my responsibilities is to educate, but another is to inspire. And I hope that this book kind of inspires someone to do something great, whether it could be as minute as, you know, coming out in the workplace is great if that's what the individual wants to do. Creating a program, you know, that helps our community, I think, is wonderful as well. So it can be measured in lots of different ways, but the goal here is to kind of pay it forward, and I think I'm trying to do that as much as possible.
You mentioned college students a lot and being passionate about working with them. I think that's so important because they're kind of the lifeblood of our society in terms of being on the verge of changing things and coming into the workplace and politics and all these different areas. And I'm wondering, why did you choose college students as opposed to, let's say, high school students or young professionals that are out of college? What is it about college students that draws you?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of a personal issue that in college, I didn't have these tools and resources to help guide me. And then initially, after I read the book, The Lavender Road Success, I automatically kind of associated with, oh, I wish I would have had this resource in college. And so that's why I started kind of looking at what opportunities were out there for college students in this area. And what I found was that there was really nothing. So we were one of the first organizations to create something like a career conference targeting LGBTQ individuals. And now there are several out there that kind of target different industries. So I think the progression of working with college students is just something that comes natural for me. So as I move forward into more one-on-one career counseling, I just think it's a really exciting time for an individual, and that if given the proper tools and resources, really anything is possible. So I think we can play an important role in that development stage.
Yep. You've mentioned the Out for Work conference a couple times now, and so I would really like to talk to you about it. And one of the reasons is a personal reason, and I think I brought this to your attention in one of our email correspondences, but I actually won a scholarship to one of your conferences back in 2007. The conference was being held in Washington, D.C., and I'm actually looking at an email here from you from September 11th, 2007, telling me that I won the scholarship for the conference. And unfortunately, what happened on my trip to that conference was that San Diego has a curfew of 11 o'clock, and my flight was to take off at 11:55 p.m., and because the flight was delayed, I missed the entire trip to the conference. So I remember being so excited because you had speakers such as John Amici and Tim Gunn that were going to be there. And I was so excited to possibly meet these people and learn from their stories. And then I couldn't make the conference, but I remember wanting to be there and being so excited to make that conference.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing that you still have that email. I'm impressed. And that's great. I'm sorry you couldn't make it. I do remember like a little bit of this story kind of comes back to me. And it's unfortunate that you couldn't make it because that was a really great year with some really great guest speakers. We have been very fortunate to have a great lineup every year. And the conference has grown into more of a regional event in the D.C. metro area to really a national and somewhat international event where we're now getting, you know, between 350 and 400 participants a year coming to this conference. So it's really grown. We have it coming up at the last weekend in September this year. It's in Chicago, Illinois, once again, at UIC in Chicago. We're really excited. This is the second year of taking the national conference to Chicago. We just really think the Midwest has been really receptive to having us there, to having the program. And also, it's a great kind of middle part of America where a lot of people can get to, travel to. And so we find the benefit in that. But it's really two amazing days of you know, presentations, keynote speakers, breakout sessions, networking opportunities, a career fair where you can find internships and jobs with, you know, LGBTQ inclusive employers. It's just an amazing energy that goes on for the 2 days. And we often get students who are like, I wasn't sure I was going to come. And then by the end of the 2 days, they are like so excited that they participated. There's some great testimonials on our website, health4work.org, from last year's participants. And it just really goes to show that, you know, there are people who care, you know, industry leaders who care. They want to get the message. They want to be helpful to students. And there's just a whole group of students that really appreciate, you know, everyone coordinating something as large as this conference has become. So not only, yes, it does target college students and those recently graduated, but I would say for any LGBTQ professionals who are interested, we are always looking for great speakers and panelists and how to get your company involved. We can always provide information about that. And also for career counselors out there, this is a great opportunity to learn about the questions and the problems and the issues that these individuals can face as they make that transition. So it's an education for career counselors as well.
Great. You answered all my follow-up questions before I even got a chance to ask them. That's awesome. So I know that you didn't want to get into the specifics of how to build a company or an organization necessarily, but I'm just wondering what you might say to someone who's inspired by your story of being an entrepreneur and starting something of their own. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of piece of advice that you can give to somebody who has an idea and wants to move it forward.
Yeah, I mean, I have an idea probably every 35 seconds, right? My staff, especially Alex Gant at Outboard, would tell you that I need to calm down on the idea generation as much as I do, because she's pretty much the one who I unload all these ideas on to build. So I am full of ideas. If I had the time and the financial resources, I would be doing much, much more than I already do for the LGBTQ community, for sure. But with that being said, I think if you have an idea, definitely take the time to develop it, be passionate about it, and also get advice from anyone that you think is influential or that can and help you in any way. I'll give you an example. So the idea of Out for Work came about, and I was like, oh, this is a great idea, but who would pay for something like this? And I met Justin Nelson, who was the founder, or co-founder, I should say, of the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And I reached out to him, and I kind of poked and prodded, and, you know, his mind about the program, and he provided some really good support and feedback, and it just kind of helped make everything run more smoothly in the initial startup. And the first company that came on board from Out for Work actually was IBM, and that was via an introduction, personal introduction, from Justin Nelson to the person at IBM. So without that initial seed money from IBM, Out for Work would have never taken off the ground. And plus, once Out for Work had an organization like IBM on board, especially the first, it was much, much easier to get other companies on board. So again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. I'll probably be repeating myself throughout this recording. It's about networking and relationship building, right? So if I never reached out to Justin, would I have had such success starting out with Out for Work? I'm not sure. I doubt it, because I think that was a key component of building the organization. And throughout the years, Out for Work and NGLCC has had this amazing relationship where we have been working with each other and helping each other. Some of their staff have actually been alumni from Outboard conferences. We have them come and speak at our conferences. I speak at theirs. I'll be at their conference this year. And so it's been really a great relationship. And I think the more of those that are developed, especially in the initial phase, the better success you'll have.
I have to say, it's a small world. Two things. First of all, I love IBM. IBM has been my client at my corporate job for almost 4 years now. And I love the company. I have an IBM email address. I work with them very closely. The other thing is that one of the first interviews that I did for my blog was a former IBM executive. His name is Stan Kimmer. He is now retired and has his own consulting business, but he's one of the first out people at IBM, and he's just fantastic. And the second thing that I wanted to say is that I listened to another podcast. It's called The Gay Business and Marketing Made Easy by Jen T. Grace. And she actually interviewed Justin Nelson from the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce for her podcast. And so it's just a really small world. And I totally agree with everything you say about building relationships. And that's so critical.
It is such a small world. I'll agree with you. Like, who would have thought that someone who applied to come to the conference in 2007 would be interviewing me today about a book that never even had been thought of at that time, and the connection with NGLCC, and that we'll both be at the conference later this summer. I mean, it is a small world.
It's just one big connected community, and I think that's what's so important about our community, is to support each other's ideas, to help move things forward, and I think all around we just have a very supportive community, which is great.
Yes, I agree. And I mean, a lot of people are willing to help. So don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to stumble. It's a process, and everything that you do, you learn from. So don't be afraid to stumble and make mistakes.
Yeah, that's huge. And it's such a learning curve starting a new project. Even this podcast, I didn't listen to podcasts at all 6 months ago. And then somebody gave me this idea, hey, you really need to start a podcast. You're creating valuable content, and podcasting is another way that consumers like to find their information. They either read or they listen or they watch. And so this is just another really great way to reach people.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing a great job, and you've been a pleasure to work with, and hopefully we can do something like this again.
Yeah. All right, what is one action listeners can take over the next 2 weeks to further their own career development?
You know, I saw this question on your email, and the first thing I thought was, go buy my book.
Hey, I think that's a legitimate action.
So you can buy it at RileyFolds.com and preview it. And even what I think is really great, I've set up this page where individuals can actually purchase a book or sponsor a book, let's say for their career center or their LGBT group or their library of the college they went to, or even their high school, because I think it's even applicable to the high school students. So if individuals wanted to sponsor a book, they could go on that website and buy an additional copy, and we'll even have a little inscription in it saying you're an alumni from that college, and this was purchased for the LGBT group by this person. And so we're really looking at expanding, not just having the individual who wants to buy it, but a lot of these schools are kind of strapped for money right now. They may not see this as a vital resource. And so, again, this is an opportunity to kind of help and pay it forward, like we were talking before. So, of course, I would say purchasing the book, I think, could be really valuable for someone's career, but also just kind of take a step back and really think about where you are professionally and personally, not just with what you want to do over the long haul, but thinking about your queer identity, thinking about your career. How do they merge? What kind of workplaces do you want to be involved in? There's a lot of, sometimes individuals, especially students, will rush to the completing a resume or submitting an application without doing the homework first to find out more about the organization, more about the position, more about, you know, really understanding who they are. So once you get a whole kind of perspective of who you are and how that relates to the workplace, I think you'll have a better fit. So not always rushing to the finish line, taking the time and appreciating the journey getting there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I think we can leave it there. So you said the best place to go is RileyFolds.com?
Yeah, so it is available on different websites, Amazon.com and others, but through RileyBolts.com, you are able to not only purchase your copy, but also purchase copies for others. And it keeps it within the kind of structure of Outwork and what we're doing. So,
got it. I have to just say, with business on the mind, that's a brilliant idea, too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you found this podcast to be inspiring and informative, really... Wow, it's thundering and lightning in Denver. I would really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend and rate it in the iTunes store. Thank you and have a great day. Bye.